Well, we're continuing this morning in our series in Luke, so please turn to Luke chapter 20. We're going to be reading from verses 45 to chapter 21, verse 4. If you're using a pew Bible or one of the church Bibles, it's on page 880. And in the hearing of all the people, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces, and the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading. Well, please do have your Bibles open at Luke 20, and I'll pray for us before we go into it. Heavenly Father, as we come to your perfect and inerrant word, we ask for your blessing. Lord, that we would be changed by it. Lord, that we would see you in it. And Lord, that we would be confronted by the truths within. Lord, we ask for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Very often, people will have a favorite Bible verse or passage, perhaps one which has always encouraged them or helped them in times of trouble. You know, some parts of the Bible are just more popular than others. Jesus' condemnation of false teachers probably does not feature too often in people's favorites. As far as I'm aware, there are no fridge magnets with today's passage on it. There are no popular hymns which even reference it. But when Jesus denounces the religious, we need to listen. The gospel Jesus preached is good news for those who know they need saving, for those who are broken and weak, for those who know they deserve judgment. But for the smug, or self-assured, the religious people who trust in their traditions, Jesus' message is disturbing. It shows they have no right to feel satisfied with their spirituality. It confronts them and challenges them. And this morning we have Jesus' final public condemnation against the religious leaders of his day. The scribes were the Bible teachers of the time, those who knew the Mosaic law, and they've opposed Jesus throughout his ministry. In a short time, they will engineer his arrest and execution. And even after that, they will continue in their opposition to Jesus by persecuting his church and his followers. Throughout Luke's gospel, we've seen Jesus teaching them, correcting their theology, and their practice. And in the final week of Jesus' life, we've seen Jesus answering their questions, facing down the attacks and opposition from them. He has silenced them, but they have not changed. And there now comes a time when public condemnation is the only thing left. All of Jesus' past condemnations come together in these verses as Jesus says to his disciples and the crowd around them, "Beware of the scribes. Be on guard against them and their ways." Yes, because they hate Jesus and his message. They're an external threat to the disciples. But the danger is more insidious than that. The scribes read the Bible every day. They claim they were serving God when in reality they were hypocritical and self-serving. Their false religion is not like the pagans who obviously worship false gods. Instead, this is what happens when Bible believers make themselves the center of worship instead of the Lord. This is a danger which any churchgoer could fall into. As we look at the list of things which Jesus condemns, it won't take a lot of effort to realize the church over the last 2,000 years has done every single one of them. And it's made all the more dangerous because of what Jesus says in verse 47. The practices of the scribes leads to the greater condemnation. This false religion leads to damnation. It is hellish. And so we ignore Christ at our peril. And Jesus' anger is shown against the scribes in three areas. First of all, their outward religion. Secondly, their oppression of the poor. And then thirdly, their abuse of prayer. And all of this leads to their condemnation. So first of all, their outward religion. Jesus condemns the scribes for outward religion. It is one of the wicked ironies of the gospel that the religious leaders who should have been directing people's attention to the Lord directed people's attention to themselves. The scribes loved to be well respected. They wanted to be known and recognized by the world around them. And this is clear from the way they acted. They liked to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplace and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts. The whole of their lives were dominated by this preoccupation, from how they dressed to how they acted in public. They liked to walk around in long robes. They put on airs, dressing in expensive and distinctive clothing, like a priest would, you know, with decorations and tassels. These are preachers who are part peacock. They were flashy, wanting everyone to know how important they were. When they walked down the street, they needed everyone to see how religious they were from the way they were dressed. And this extended to how others were to greet them. The scribes love greetings in the marketplaces. It wasn't enough for someone to see how they were dressed. The people also had to use grand titles for them to show they knew how prominent these men were. Oh, great teacher. Oh, very reverend. Oh, most high. In church, they're no better. They demanded the best seats at the synagogues, near the front, highly visible, so everyone could notice them and their religion as they worshipped God. At weddings and banquets, they did the same thing, wanting the place of honor at feasts. Whether it was in the public square or the private, religious or secular, these men were desperate to be seen and heard, for people to know how pious and godly they appeared. Their entire religion was outward. It was all about being seen in the right place at the right time. It was all empty posture. In our day, faith is becoming less and less respectable in society. So we probably do not expect any benefits from people thinking we are religious. In fact, we might worry the opposite. Yet there is an entire multi-billion pound advertising industry dedicated to making us focus on the external, to make us be constantly concerned with what others think of us. Am I dressed the right way? Is my house nice enough? What do I need to look like to be acceptable? What is fashionable? What is cool? Sadly, these values are found in the church itself. The feeling of pride, where we have to put on a brave face and seem better than we really are, is absolutely toxic. The attempt to project the idea that we're more spiritual or have a greater Bible knowledge than we really do, or that we refuse to let others see when we are not at our best. You know, no one can come round to the house for hospitality unless we can put on a show, unless I can project a lifestyle which I would never usually keep to. Jesus did not come for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. So why do we spend so much time pretending we're not the unrighteous, pathetic sinners Jesus came to save? All the posturing is for nothing. People may see the outward appearance of the scribes, or even the outward appearance of ourselves. But the Lord looks on the heart. He knows the truth of where we are spiritually. And isn't it ridiculous and foolish to pretend that the opinions of others are more important than the relationship with the Lord who made us? But Jesus moves on to his next point of condemnation against the scribes. They oppressed the poor. You see, for all their apparent respectability, these scribes were in reality rotten. They oppressed the poorest and most vulnerable in society for their own gain. They devour widows' houses. In the first century, widows generally had no income of their own. They were either entirely reliant on the goodwill and charity of those around them, or they used what little they owned to pay for their own way. Because of their vulnerability, the scriptures are full of commands to care for widows, to make sure they are not ignored or oppressed or forgotten about. But the scribes abused and oppressed them. They took what little the widows had for themselves. They devoured widows' houses. They were like wolves, devouring the Lord's flock. No doubt their respectability and their high status in society helped them in this, being seen as trustworthy, even as they robbed what little the widows had out from under them. They saw the poorest in society and thought, what easy prey. Rather than protecting the exploitable, they joined in the exploitation, taking them for every penny they could get. It's with this in mind that we need to look again at the widow's offering at the beginning of chapter 21. Jesus draws attention to what is happening. She puts in her last 2 copper coins as an offering to the temple. All the others gave what they could afford, but she made herself destitute by giving everything she had. Now Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to copy her. This is not Jesus' example of how to give to the church this morning. But from her actions, we can see that this woman's faith was real. She was prepared to trust the Lord with everything. She was not, like the scribes, showy. She did this quietly. It was a real faith, hidden from view, except to Christ. But the scribes were happy to abuse that faith and steal everything they could from her. Just as Jesus finishes his condemnation of those who devour the livelihoods of poor widows, he looks up and sees the temple doing exactly this. A den of robbers, which happily took the last pennies from poverty-stricken widows, while its leaders lived a life of luxury in fine clothes and great feasts. There is something particularly odious
about religion which rips off the poor. These things disgrace God's reputation when they are done in His name. Think of how even non-believers are offended by the televangelists getting people to pledge their life savings, their ministry, while they fly around in private jets. Or cathedrals decked out in gold leaf and fantastic murals, while the people who worship in them are living in squalor and poverty, still being urged to give even more to continue the building work. If the evil is clear and offensive to even non-Christians, then how much more outrageous must it be to a holy and righteous Lord who upholds justice for the weak and for the powerless? This is not just a distortion of worship. It is a total rejection of the Lord's character. The Lord will one day destroy the temple in Jerusalem for its wicked ways. How enormous must the judgment be against any church which commits the same sin? By comparison, think of the early church as we see it in the book of Acts. They are clear. Their mission is to spread the gospel. There's no doubt about that. But as they preach and teach, they make sure the poor among them are well cared for. They set up deacons to make sure no widow in the congregation goes hungry. Rather than the poor being robbed by the wealthy, everyone donated and it was used as each had need. And there is a huge gulf between the spirit-filled church which Christ established and the corrupt practices of the scribe and the temple which Jesus condemns. Now we may not be devouring the households of the poorest, but we can slip into a similar mindset to the scribes. Are those who come to church here for your own benefit? Are you taking from others? Or are you here in a fellowship to serve your fellow Christians? Do you love people for their own sake? Or because of what you can get out of them? We may not rob them, but we can hold the same contempt as the scribes. And thirdly, the scribes abused prayer. The final thing Jesus condemns the scribes for is their abuse of prayer. They, for a pretense, make long prayers. When they prayed, they did not focus on God, but instead they made long prayers to impress others. There's nothing wrong with long prayers in and of themselves. Jesus prayed by himself for hours at a time. But the problem here is that the scribes made long prayers in public in order to make themselves look good, to impress others by how long-winded they were. Others would hear them and assume they must be super spiritual. But the spirituality which the scribes were known for was a sham. We might assume this was on the same level as wanting the best seats in the synagogues or wearing special robes. You know, it's another action by which they showed off in public. But in reality, this is surely the worst thing described in the condemnation. See, all the other hypocrisy of the religious leaders was aimed at other people. This action was aimed against God himself. Prayer is an enormous privilege. John Calvin famously described prayer as an intimate conversation with God. And we are creatures made by the Lord. We belong completely and utterly to Him. We've rebelled against Him. We have sinned against Him. And still He condescends to allow human beings to come before the Creator of the universe
and speak to him. He enters into a loving relationship with his people, and he pledges to hear their prayers, to take an interest in our lives, to let us make requests of him. Prayer is therefore an act of worship. It is one of the ways we show our dependence on the Lord. It shows we recognize we are his creation and we are made to glorify him. But the scribes took this worship of God and twisted it into worship of man, to use the gift of intimacy with the Lord for their own advantage around others goes completely against what they were made for. Effectively, they would say to the God of the scriptures which they read, to the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, thanks, you're a great prop in my performance. How dare they? Listen, when the Lord Almighty is just another stepping stone on your goal of personal advancement and personal glory, then you know you are on the road to hell. This activity of the scribes is tempting. It comes to us all naturally, to make prayer a performance art. I don't mean that we'll stand on street corners and pray for the attention of passers-by, but think of something like the prayer meeting. It's common for people to say, Amen, praise God, yes Lord, as people pray, and that's good. We should be supporting and agreeing with each other's prayers. Yet isn't it tempting, if you are praying, to think our prayer was better or more effective or more pleasing if other people said things at the same time? To take our minds off God and on to the responses of the people around us? Or perhaps we neglect private prayer at home where no one can see it, and only pray at public gatherings where we will be seen and heard by others. Alternatively, we use theological terms and language we would never normally use in order to sound more oppressive to our fellow Christians. Please do not hear this as a call for a silent prayer meeting. We need to be people of prayer, especially when we are gathered together. At the same time, though, we need to check our own hearts to make sure we are praying for God's glory and not ourselves. We need to oppose the prayer style of the scribes just as strongly as we would oppose a lack of prayer in our lives. Because, as Jesus warns, it leads to condemnation. Jesus ends his warning to the disciples with this severe judgment. The scribes will receive the greater condemnation. These scribes are damned. And it should be clear why. Despite their outward look and reputation for piety, they were instead making a show of their religion. Back in chapter 12, before Jesus came to Jerusalem, he had already taught that when it comes to judgment, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. In other words, those who have received plenty from the Lord will be expected to give plenty in return. The scribes are not people who are ignorant of God. They have access to the scriptures. They read the Bible. They teach it for a living. They're not in the same position as Romans or Greeks who worship idols. But these lawyers have failed in even attempting to uphold the greatest command, to love the Lord their God, to love their neighbours themselves. When their neighbor is weak and needy, they don't use their power to protect them. Instead, they steal as much as they can from them. When it comes to the Lord, they pretend to belong to him, but don't care for him at all. And worst of all, this sin doesn't even bother them. It doesn't even lead to humility or an asking of forgiveness. They want the respect of being great men of God, but without actually being so. They are utterly hypocritical. Their religion is false. And so, says Jesus, they will receive the greater condemnation. All breaking of God's law is serious, but not all condemnation is equal. The punishment of the scribes will be worse than those who were ignorant. Every single law which they knew about, which they taught others about, but broke anyway, will be held against them. Their hypocrisy leads to the worst punishments in hell. And this is a sobering message for us all in church. We're here on a Sunday. We hear the scriptures read and taught. We gain a better understanding of who the Lord is and what he requires of us. And the Lord expects us to respond to this. He expects us to respond to what we learn. We have a greater responsibility to obey the Lord and conform to his teachings the more we know of him. Now, before we finish, we need to take a good look at ourselves. Do you see an attempt to try and look better than you really are? To appear more spiritual than the Lord knows you to be? Nothing can be hidden from God. He wants us to be as honest before others as we are before him. If you recognize you are a hypocrite this morning, and I am sure that many of us do, including myself, take comfort in this. Jesus Christ, the only person to ever worship the Lord perfectly, the only person to ever love his neighbor as himself, the only person to be perfect in love without even a hint of hypocrisy in anything he ever thought or said or did, went to the cross and died for your hypocrisy. He took the greater condemnation which we all deserve. He endured the wrath of God in our place. Brothers and sisters, honesty is the only way to salvation. I do not mean by that that if we tell a lie, we cannot be saved. But if we are sinners, we must admit we are sinners and ask for forgiveness. If we are struggling, we must admit we are struggling and ask for strength. And if we are hypocrites, we must admit we are hypocrites and humble ourselves before the Lord and rely only on his mercy and nothing which we show to others. Amen. Let us pray.